Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. It is not often that I get up quite late because I've been out previous night and find that something like this has happened. So I thought I would examine it because something hit me immediately. I am, of course, talking about the massacre at Bondi Beach in Australia at the Chanukah by the Sea Jewish festival, which now appears to have resulted in 12 deaths, and a Jewish beach festival, Hanukkah by the Sea, 12 deaths, including a police officer and a child. At least 12 people have been killed. Around 50 gunshots have been heard. And so far, the man we now have what will be an infamous image of a man of the extraction, which you can probably guess, standing on a bridge, firing brazenly at citizens, at well at particularly at Jewish people celebrating this festival. And his surname is something like Akram, and he has been arrested, and this is ongoing. And one thing that really, really struck me about this was the absolute blatantness of it. Often when we think Navid Akram, it was his name, often when we think of, let's say, for example, heretics burning at the stake in 16th century England, you think to yourself, how can this be possible? How can they do this to themselves? How can they go through such pain, such agony? But of course, that fails to understand the extreme degree to which these people are religious. The extreme degree to which they have evolved, are adapted to very, very strongly believe in God, and very, very strongly believe in their particular religion. And indeed, and perhaps you can see it as almost a series of dark triad traits of narcissism, of elements of psychopathy, to very, very strongly believe that they are chosen by God, that they are his people, and that therefore they have supreme confidence in doing this. I'm being told that it's pronounced Bondi Beach. I think this is a testimony to the fact that I'd never even heard of it, and most people outside of Australia would never even have heard of it. So as far as we are concerned, this is a completely obscure place that will only be known for this map for this ongoing massacre. And it's that self-belief, that incredible self-belief, that makes you do something that is so manifestly extraordinarily dangerous, where there's no question that you won't get caught. There's no question you were very likely to be shot by, it was not well famous to me, never heard of it. You are very likely to be shot in the process of doing this. You are very likely to lose your life, and certainly you will spend the rest of your life in prison if you are apprehended. And what really, really struck me was the people keep saying it's well famous. I'll just repeat myself. I've never heard of it. I may not be representative of the world. So you and this extreme self-belief, and so you know it that is glinting in his eyes, that you can see that he's absolutely certain, he is absolutely fanatical, and he just doesn't care. He just does not care. And as far as he's concerned, his people are under attack. If someone says Bondi Beach or Bondi Beach is famous again, I'm just going to block them. This is ridiculous. I've never heard of it. I'm talking about me. This complete certainty that God is on his side, and God is blessing him, and they're able to just catch him in the act, standing on a bridge, doing this. And he simply does not care. There is simply no concern, and that's what really, really struck me about this. I know it's ongoing. There's not much to say yet. The death toll, unfortunately, is continuing. Now, obviously, what we've got is a situation in which he takes the view that, as well, the other thing that's relevant is the notion essentially of collective punishment, and this is so incongruous with what we have been taught to believe in the West, in particular since the war. The idea that you should judge people as individuals, you should not judge people as in any way part of a group. You should not think about the fact that people are part of a group. Those groups may have average differences, and obviously it's going to have an effect on the nature of society if groups with average differences interact, or if large numbers of members of a group with modal differences come into contact with another group with modal differences. That is going to have an impact. And obviously, the particular group of which this individual is a part is likely to be modally much more religious, modally much more, or on average, much more ethnocentric. I've done has a study on this about 9 years ago, where we looked at group differences in ethnocentrism, and we looked at what was behind them, and we looked at which groups were particularly ethnocentric. And I'm sure you can guess the results. So you're bringing among Australians who are low, relatively low anyway, in ethnocentrism, groups which are high in it. And obviously that's going to have an effect on the nature of the society, and an effect on how people behave. And he sees things in terms of groups. He is part of a group, as far as he is concerned, this shooter and this other shooter that has not been arrested yet, or whatever it happens to be. As far as he's concerned, there's his group. He's fighting for his group. People that are members of his group can be reasonably said, in his view, to manifest certain qualities, which, at least partly, which are the average of that group, and then another group can be said to manifest certain qualities that are the average of that group. This is a battle in evolutionary terms between two groups. The other group has, in his view, attacked or mistreated or whatever people like him, people that are part of his subgroup, and indeed, more pertinently, because religiosity is a highly genetic issue. It's depending on the measure of it, it's about 0.7 genetic. That people of a particular religious persuasion, which correlates presumably reasonably strongly with their ethnic ethnicity, with their genes. And so he sees it as completely reasonable to attack members of this other group because they are members of this other group. They somehow share in the collective guilt and in the collective haramness of the group of which they are a part at an individual level, and so they deserve to be collectively punished, which is, I'm afraid, what happens in the world of warfare. And this is, I suggest, an increasing problem in Western countries, that we try all the time, we try so hard to say, oh, well, we're all the same, and we're all human, and so on. But this ignores something very, very fundamental when you are dealing with large numbers of people of a different group, where the average qualities for evolutionary and environmental reasons are going to be different. And it's going, and particularly when they have a strong sense of group identity, which is natural to do and is what people tend to do. We know, if you look at the research by not just J. Philippe Russian, but various others, there's loads and loads of research on this. I summarized it in my book, Race Differences in Ethnocentrism. In fact, some of that research was Australian, as I recall. People are sort along racial lines, even down to little things like with whom they choose to live when they are at university, in halls of residence or whatever, when they can choose. And even down to things like citations to whom all else being equal, which paper do they cite in an academic journal? And the answer is often a paper where the surname of the author is of a similar ethnicity to their own. So this is, we can't deny the existence of these ethnocentric traits. And they are strong, they are inbuilt, they come out at times of stress, which tells you that they are an instinct, essentially. And from an evolutionary perspective, obviously, we divide into genetic clusters, and so it's going to be adaptive to behave more favorably to those of your own genetic cluster, and potentially to see those of a different genetic cluster in a rather more negative light, because in prehistory, you band together into groups and you are then competing for resources with other groups. And we have a situation where modernity, where post-modernity, puts us in a kind of evolutionary mismatch where we're placed together with those other groups. They're placed together cheek by jowl. And the result, if there is some kind of conflict between these groups, is that there is going, you at least from the more ethnocentric or the subgroup, you will see this kind of what we are seeing now on Bondi Beach, the very, very famous beach that apparently I should have heard of. And it's therefore, in a theoretical sense, it's unsurprising. It is unsurprising in light of what's been happening in Israel. I forgot to brush hair. I never brush my hair. I can't bother to do that. I've got more important things to do. What a facile comment. This is going to occur everywhere and keep occurring. I don't know if, by the way, I'd be interested to know if I have any Americans watching, if there's been any update on what happened at Brown University, which was what I went to bed to, which was some kind of shooter wandering the halls of the engineering faculty or something of Brown University, which is a lesser Ivy League university. But this is shocking, I suppose, in so much as Australia is one of these countries that it's about 94% European ancestry, as I understand it. And so you would think that something like this would be less likely to occur in Australia than in other countries, because of the limited extent to which it has either Jewish or Islamic immigration. But it does have these things, and so it does happen. So that seems to be the situation, and I think that we will simply get more and more and more of these kinds of things for as long as there is more and more of these kinds of things for as long as these groups are coming into contact. If there's very small numbers of another group, or if they're not provoked in some way, then you don't expect to see these things happening. But once you have the economy falling apart, which I suppose you could say is due to well, I don't know. Someone's saying that Australia is 60% white, and they're correct about this. So I don't know where I heard that it's something else. If so, it must have changed radically quickly. But that was almost my understanding of Australia. I take that back. It's not. It says here that Australia, 28,000 people, European 54%. Well, that doesn't include. I will have to look into that more. My understanding is that it was. I don't know when this radically changed. I've heard so much about Australia being overwhelmingly European in terms of its population. This seems to have radically changed since I last checked. So I take that back. But nevertheless, we don't expect things like this to happen in Australia. Apparently someone's saying it's changed so much in the last 20 years. It must change a hell of a lot. That's absolutely extraordinary. You're saying that it's essentially less European than the United States of America, if this is to be believed. 54.65% European, major ethnic, minor ethnic, 17% Asian, subdivided, indigenous 3%, Middle Eastern, North African 2%, Pacific Islander 1%. Oh, well, these numbers don't add up. Anyway, this is beside the point. It's just not something that you expect to happen. Over 1800 Australia are white. This is something from a few years ago. Like, I don't know what to believe, to be honest. I'd like to sort that out. So this is we shouldn't be shocked by this. And unfortunately, we will expect it to have more. We will always be shocked when it happens, because it will seem like it's out of the blue. It will seem like it's sudden. It will seem like it's just an extraordinary thing. But it is just so predictable in a society of mass migration. It is unfortunately what you would expect to happen, and it raises serious questions about this notion of continually thinking about the world in individual terms, individualistic terms, as groups of individuals that have no common genetic interests, because of course they do. And one of the most, you know, the most significant writer on this topic is Australian, Frank Salter, and his book On Genetic Interests, which looks at exactly like this and quantifies these genetic interests and states that a certain number of people coming from a certain country to another country eventually becomes the equivalent of each person in that country losing the equivalent of one child in genetic terms. So this can be quantified, and this has serious consequences. And it obviously has serious consequences for everyday life, and for how you can get along. Now, this admittedly is a fight between two different ethnic groups. It doesn't seem to relate directly to the Australian majority. It's two ethnic subgroups within Australia, but obviously it could easily spill out more broadly. So people are asking me what to do now. I always say this notion that we have freedom and we can just choose to do things. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that we civilization is unfolding in its cycle, and this is the winter of that cycle, and this is what happens in the winter of that cycle. You have a situation where things begin to fall apart in a context in which there are different subgroups interacting, and eventually you get this kind of conflict, and you get things falling apart, and you get a reduction into a simpler way of life, and into a less complex polities, and to just people kind of just falling apart. And the best comparison is probably South Africa, where there are parts of South Africa to which the Afrikaans and so forth have now retreated, and they are relatively safe because and they are left alone by the government that is basically too corrupt to even properly run a police force. These are almost like de facto breakaway states that are tolerated. And you get then, of course, the rise of protection rackets, because the police are too overstretched and too stupid to be able to actually look after you. So you're going to start to see that. I think more and more and more people just paying into protection rackets to look after them, because the police won't bother doing so, even though they're compelled to pay whatever percent of their income to the government. The police won't do so. The police won't bother. The police won't help. So you'll end up with protection rackets. And eventually this will just be overlooked. The fact that these protection rackets might use violence will be overlooked, because people will need them and they'll be so overwhelmingly popular. People are talking about the statistics of New Zealand. I knew that New Zealand was about 60% white back in ZNZ, but I didn't know this was the case in Australia. I thought Australia was considerably more so. It is news to me that I knew about New Zealand, but I was not aware of the case with Australia. That's the situation, and it, as I say, from an evolutionary perspective, it doesn't surprise me. I will just check if there's been any news, any developments, as we are now midday UK time. I don't know what that is in various parts of Australia, presumably late in the evening or something like that. Let's just see if there's been an update in this death toll. And now it still says 12 people have been killed, attack declared terrorism, child and police officer among victims, one gunman dead, one gunman is dead, okay, and the other is in police custody. And they have found, so they were thinking of bombing the place. Then it now says they have found an improvised explosive device in a car. So this would have been a much worse massacre, potentially, than is the case. So there you go. So this could have been much, much, much worse. Someone's saying Islam again, Peter Christian 541. Yeah, this is what it certainly looks like. We don't know, but based on the information we have at hand, and based on the name, and based on the fact that it's a Jewish Hanukkah festival that he's gone for, it certainly seems pretty likely that it is. I know that, but obviously we don't officially know. But this is certainly what it looks like. What's the name? Oh, goodness me! Someone in the chat will know the name. The person that's asking that. Someone in the chat told me earlier. I can't remember the name that's on my head. But it's a name that sounds of the kind that would be expected. Let me just check what it is. Sorry about this impromptu break as I'm doing this live. Probably someone's told you in the chat by now, so I guess I shouldn't bother. Fears of a third attacker involved in Bondi Beach, they're now saying. So this is obviously Navid Akram from Sydney's Bonnie Rig district. That is the name of the individual in question. So I believe the name sounds like that. Yeah. That's who it sounds like. It's obviously absolutely appalling. Born 2001, says Koala Bear 499. Yes, 24 years old. Yes, you're right. That's what they said. 1 a.m. in New Zealand now. So that's it. That's what's happening. And again, it makes such theoretical sense. I don't know about you, but I personally find that when chaos makes theoretical sense, it is kind of easier to cope with the chaos, because you know what's going on, and you can kind of vaguely make predictions based on what you know is going on. So that I personally find that reasonably reassuring. But it does make full sense. So that is it. That is all I have to say. If there are any questions, then do send them. I can't see, if you're watching on Twitter, I can't see any questions that you send. But if you're watching on YouTube, I will answer any questions now that you might have. Otherwise, I will wrap up. And if there's anybody that's watching from Australia and has anything to say, I'd be most interested. So I'm just looking, if there are any questions, then do send them in the chat now. What generation were they? My guess is fourth or fifth. I doubt it's fifth or fourth. Come on, this is very few. These people are probably at best first generation. Their parents may have moved to Australia, I would think. We don't know yet, but it's going to be relatively new to the country. We can deal with this by making jokes about Bruce and so forth, and it might be. But second at most, Hamlet. Well, exactly. This is someone saying living in Scandinavia. I'm sorry to say, I'm not surprised. This is the new normal. Yes, it will be the new normal. this will be the new normal until, I suppose, until people are pushed so far that they can't bear it anymore. And then once that happens, and once you get large movements of people, then of course it's going to be economic chaos. It's going to be completely uncontrolled. Charlie Downs was talking on the news today about this in relation to the UK. He was talking about remigration, that sort of thing. And it's certainly true that if you did something like that, if you stopped massive, the economy of Western countries is now reliant on basically mass immigration or elements of it to keep a bubble being sustained. So if you take it away, when the economy has become reliant on it, for example, the economy of many UK towns has become centered around the fact that there are not very good universities in those towns that lots of foreigners go to, and the shops and whatever are reliant on those foreigners being there spending money, and the universities themselves, which are massive bureaucracies, are reliant on those foreigners being there spending money. Take it away, and you probably should, but take it away, and it's a very, very, this thing that's gradually developed over the last sort of 25 years, take it away, and there's a massive shock to the system, and lots of unemployment, and all of the consequences of that. So this remigration, whatever policy that a lot of people are now talking about, a lot of very online right-wing people are now talking about, would make the consequences of Brexit look like a picnic. It would have, because we've changed unfortunately, we have very decadently changed over the last 30 years. We're not training enough of our British doctors for reasons I can never understand. Therefore, there's all these foreign doctors, and then if you suddenly take over the system, if you suddenly alter the system, then you're in serious trouble. But that is a discussion for another day. Stay safe, chaps, and see you all on the live stream on Monday. And tally ho, and goodbye.